Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 9. If you have your Bible, if you have your phone, you have your laptop, whatever you have, your computer. I do most of my studying now from my computer. It's just so easy to access all of the different translations that I enjoy studying, or the Greek and the Hebrew, it's all there. And so how many enjoy insight from God's Word? Amen. That you see things you've never seen before. And I always say that if God shows you things you've never seen before, it's to do the things you've never done before. Amen.
That's right.
So, hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your Word. Father, I thank you for all of our friends and family that have joined us online, God. And Lord God, I'm just asking you to reach out and touch them in their homes, God, as they're not able to be here today, that you will bless and enrich their lives, fill their homes with your presence. And Father, as we gather together as one body today, we all together release our faith that you will speak to us, you will strengthen us, and you will show us what we need to see. Everybody vocally tell them thank you right now for that. So Father, thank you for the precious ministry of the Holy Spirit. For it is he who guides us into all truth. And we thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to Matthew 9. I will go there. I'm going to read a little bit out of the King James and then go on from here. This morning, I titled this message, Help Somebody. Help Somebody. Is anybody out there? Amen. And Matthew, the 9th chapter, Jesus. And we'll begin reading in verse 35. He went about all the cities and villages. This was really in the very beginning of his ministry. And teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Say gospel. Say good news. Amen. He was teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among them. Amen. I'll stop for a moment. If Jesus was healing every disease and sickness among them, what do you think he was teaching on? He had to be teaching on healing, because faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
If you don't know the will of God, I always talk about that, you know. It is a challenge. All my life, you know, I've seen all different outcomes. Outcomes that we're believing for. It didn't happen the way we thought, but you stay in faith.
Amen.
Because if there was a shadow of doubt regarding God's will, let's say for salvation, if God only saves some but not others, then surely you would be the one he didn't save. Work with me. Amen. We can all humbly say that. I'd be the one he wouldn't save, because the devil would make sure I was convinced he wouldn't save me. Talking about God. Well, it's the same with healing. If God only healed some but didn't heal others, then how could you have the faith or confidence that you're the one, or that he is chosen to heal or not to heal? If God didn't deliver everybody and only delivered some, let's say addiction. Travis was addicted to meth, and he came here one day. Randy actually brought him, I believe. We didn't know him, but he was bound by meth, had all gotten all sorts of help or tried to, couldn't get free. And he came here and because he wanted to be free. Say this out loud, I want to be free.
I want to be free.
Amen. And so we just simply prayed a prayer over him. Now, again, you cannot explain the supernatural. You can't, but you can experience it. And so we prayed over him, just a quiet prayer. We didn't say, come on, in the name of Jesus. No, we just prayed a quiet prayer because we didn't want to scare the new member class that was downstairs and lose half of them. So we prayed a small prayer, quiet prayer, and broke that spirit over him. I mean, that our confession was that. And he left, and God instantly set him free from meth. And how many years ago was that? How many years ago was that? Long time ago. Huh? 13 years ago. Come on, let's give God praise. He's been free for 13 years. But if I'd have told Travis that day, you know, Travis, God delivers some, but he don't deliver others. And I'll do my best to pray for you, but good luck. But that wasn't the case at all. We were confident that God delivers people. How many have ever been delivered from something since you met Jesus? Amen. And he is a delivering God. Hallelujah. Amen. That wasn't my message, but that was the free part. Now we'll get into the word. So Jesus healed. He preached. He taught, he preached, and the Bible says healed every sickness, every disease among them. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I just love that word. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Now, I want to read a couple of different translations here. Before I do, I want to give you the definition of labor. It simply means one who works. It's one who toils. Amen. That's what the word labor means. And when we went to Rhema, Kenneth Sr. would say, how do you spell ministry? And they would say W-O-R-K. Ministry is, I will even say this even to our staff, ministry is not a job, it's a calling. And it's not for 8 hours a day. It's 24/7 if that's required. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So it is a ministry. It's a giving up your life for the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus himself acknowledged the fact that to build the Father's kingdom, he needed help. God needed help. Helpers on this side of eternity. Let me read if you would. Let me say your help and my help. Say my help. Amen. God needs your help. He does. And the Passion Bible says, when he saw the vast crowds of people, Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion because they seemed weary and helpless. Sounds like life without God, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. So he turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it in. And you know what? That has been true of every generation since Jesus spoke that. Every generation, God is short of laborers. And then the Message Bible says, what a huge harvest, how few workers. What a huge harvest and how few workers. Amen. And that has been the case ever since, even today in the 21st century. God's cry for help is still, I need help. Say out loud, God needs help.
God needs help.
He really does. If he could do it on his own, it would have been done already.
Right.
But he chose us to be co-laborers with him. Amen. And that's what the Apostle Paul said anyway. So throughout the 39 months of his ministry, for the most part, Jesus had 12 workers, 12 laborers, 12 men that had left all to follow him. Just 12. Yeah, we know that he had more, but even if you'll study in John 6, when he began to tell people, he that eateth not of my flesh nor drinketh of my blood hath no part in me, they thought he was talking about cannibalism. And Jesus was, it goes on, John 3:66 says, don't you understand, my words are spirit and they are life. So Jesus was talking about the spiritual side of life. And yet they got offended at him and they all left. They all left him except for the 12. And I mean, they thought about it, but they had nowhere to go. So they stuck with him. Amen. Now, imagine being a head usher, having to organize a way to feed 15,000 hungry people after they haven't eaten for 3 days. Imagine being chosen to hand out the fish and bread without getting trampled. Imagine being the one who, the crowd control person who's trying to keep people from running Jesus over, trying to get to him for a miracle. So, I mean, this was quite a serious calling for these 12, but that's all he had. That's what he was depending on to fulfill his Father's will. And for those who, this is so good. All throughout the Old Testament, every divine assignment that God had, he needed help to do so. Let me give you the example. When he built the tabernacle and he built Solomon's temple, he chose men to do so. And I'm sure women were involved, but we're specifically talking about how God added his giftings too. See, when God calls you to be involved in his business, he equips you for that. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit into your hearts so that you could know that you have someone on the inside helping you. Amen. Someone on the inside helping. Praise God. Now, so when they built a tabernacle in the wilderness, the Bible says in Exodus, it was built by those who had willing hearts. Say willing hearts.
Willing.
Yeah. It didn't say qualified hearts. It said willing hearts.
That's
Amen. I just love that. It says it in a few places. This is actually Exodus 35. Amen. And so for those who were willing, then God added, he put his spirit upon them and God's abilities in them so that the anointing in their lives would far exceed their natural ability. Isn't that good? Why? Because you have to understand this. Both the tabernacle of old and the temple in Jerusalem, there had to be perfection in the building thereof. Why? Because God in his perfection was going to enter that Holy of Holies. So everything from the very garments that the priests wore in their duties of ministry to all the silver and gold goblets and all the other things used in their worship, they had to be carved. They had to be made in perfection. So God added his anointing upon them to do so. It's like your life. He adds his anointing upon your life so that you can be co-laborers with him to bring the harvest in. And again, if only 1% of the body of Christ has ever led someone to the Lord, you know God is short on laborers. Every church suffers because of lack of laborers. Every ministry is held back in measures because of the lack of laborers. People are too busy. It's always been that way. In fact, Jesus, during the parable of the sower, he specifically pointed out that there would be cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things would enter in and choke the very divine life or the word of God out of your life so that you don't end up bearing the image of your Savior. How many here want to bear the image of your Savior? Amen. I told this, but it is true. I've said it, but it's just good example. I was at 14th in Minnesota many, many years ago, taking a left, and the light turned. And, of course, I just honked my horn. I'm an impatient person sometimes. I mean, I almost got to repent every day for the way I drive. And so I honked, and, of course, the woman on her bumper says, "Honk if you love Jesus." So I honked, and she turned around and flipped me off. Don't have those kind of bumper stickers on your car if you're going to do that.
Amen.
Amen. But, Amen. I'm sure she's doing well today. Hallelujah. So God equipped his men. Exodus 31. The Lord said to Moses, "Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah." Amen. And you know, I believe when Bezalel heard this, I believe in his heart he thought, "What? Are you kidding me? Moses obviously missed God because I'm not qualified to do that quality of craftsman. I'm not qualified." Now, he had to be a pretty good craftsman to begin with, but God added his anointing upon his life so that he could even do better. Can everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
And anytime God calls us, let's say there's so many ministries, you know, in every ministry. We have all sorts of ministries here. I was sharing this, but it's true. You know, we have nursery ministry. We have children's ministries, all their different ages and levels. We have youth ministry. What's that, honey? Yeah, we have three of those. And then we have the ministries, you know, less important, like, you know, the ushers. I'm saying in the fact that the ushers get to stay in here and listen to the word. A lot of these people have to sit out and not hear the word of God. And so we have, you know, all these different ministries, open door ministries, guys outside. I love them all. But in every one of these areas, the ministry suffers if people aren't willing to value what is there, and yet we don't have enough people for the quality of ministry that you need and that we want you to have. Amen. And so I'm just going to throw a few things out there just to let you think on that. So apart from the Holy Spirit and his giftings, none of us are capable of building God's kingdom. And there's very few who feel adequate in carrying out God's assignments. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's why we need faith and love. Faith and love are required. Why? Because it takes faith to obey God, and it takes love to manifest when you mess up. Verse 3, it says, this is God speaking, I have filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him, watch this, great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. I mean, if Bezalel would have heard this, he'd have said, oh, no, come on now. Oh, my God, you're inflating this thing. Because I am not that good. Do you remember when Moses, you know, was supposed to go to the Pharaoh and say, let my people go? Well, he according to, I think, I don't know, is there a scripture in the Bible? It says he had a speech impediment, you know? And so he was insecure. And so and God got frustrated with him. I'll fill your mouth. No, that's not going to work. Let my, they say he stuttered. And so what did he do? God was actually frustrated with him and said, okay, I'll send Aaron with you. What did Aaron do? End up building a calf to worship in the wilderness. And he surely would have died without Moses. And so they needed each other. Anyway, praise the Lord. So we do feel inadequate. Always. Always. I mean, even ministry, all these years of ministry, especially when you're out in the public like this or you're speaking, you know, I always try my best not to get in trouble, but once in a while I do. Once in a while I just say stupid stuff. You're agreeing with me, aren't you? No. That was not the place to say amen. I know. Listen, you're the one, very few that say something. I'm so glad you shout, hallelujah. And then I can't take it back. And so I'm embarrassed. I feel stupid, you know, because, you know, or I embarrass my family, you know, or embarrass my wife, embarrass my kids. This is an embarrassing ministry. No, just kidding. But anyway, it's not easy. But what you do when every time I step out here, I thoroughly depend upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit to help me speak to you so that you can benefit from what's being said. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he goes on and says this. He, Bezalel, is he's a master at every craft. I have personally, God says, appointed Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. So even Bezalel, or whatever his name is, Ernie, whatever, I mean, he needed help. So he sent him a helper. Isn't that good? Even though he's as skilled as God could make him at that time, he still needed help. Amen. And then it says, I've given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen as they can make all the things I've commanded you to make. Amen. See, if God so divinely equipped men and women to construct a worship center made of brick and mortar, will he not also anoint men and women when they're called to build the kingdom of God on the inside of the hearts of men and women and children? Amen. That's even more important. You know, the Bible says, it's beautiful, all these scriptures I think about when I'm studying, God chose and anointed you and I to serve in his house. Amen. Say this out loud. I am anointed.
I am anointed.
Now, when you say that, you know, and I know you just said it, we say it by faith, but we also say it in humility. We don't say it in arrogance. You know, when I look at our kids in the sense of ministry, I've never seen arrogance in my children in regard to ministry. Or they express that they're just so much more finer than anybody. No, I've always seen humility, and I've always seen love, and I've always seen subservience. So I'm grateful for that. Even though through the years we've had challenges, prior to Angie, you know, we had challenges in music ministry. And people always say, the devil fell out of the choir loft. Because the enemy wants to destroy something that is so holy, and that is praise and worship. Yeah. Amen. But he hasn't been able to do that, and I'm so grateful for it. So it was God who chose you and anointed you. in both your worship of him and in your service to him. So we just want to talk a little bit and answer a question that needs to be resolved. How important am I, I'm talking about you and I, in regards to advancing God's kingdom on earth? And how valuable are we in regards to helping build his kingdom within the hearts of his people? I remember this joke, and it'll all tie in together, but I've told it before, but you know, been here long enough that you hear some old jokes. There was one gentleman who was out on vacation over the Grand Canyon, and he got over to the edge, looking over and see how far it was, and he slipped and fell, and over the edge he went. And as he's falling, all of a sudden he reached out, and by the miracle, he caught a branch, and he's hanging there, and he's crying out, "Help! Help!" Can't hear a thing. "Help!" All of a sudden, a voice came from above. "I'm here." Oh, somebody's there. "Oh, help me." "Will you trust me?" "Yes, yes." "Will you do what I say?" "Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll do anything you say." "Let go." "Is anybody else up there?" Anyway, it means you got to let go of the fears, right? And let go of the things that try to hinder you from getting involved and being a blessing to the body of Christ and a blessing to your Lord and Savior. Can I have an amen? Amen. Every time the doors are open at Faith Family Church, there'll be those present who have fallen into a state of depression. They've fallen into a state of hopelessness. They're overcome with fear. They're in the midst of a relational warfare. They're struggling with moral compromise. And all these personal struggles, there's the silent cry for help. Is anybody there who can relate to me? And that's why I get frustrated when we come to church and we simply, we act our piousness because we want to make sure everybody knows that we have it together. When we fought all the way to church, or we struggled all week in an area, and we just simply are not open to sharing our testimonies with people to let them know, you know, that we're struggling. We were watching a Jesus last night, the Jesus movie, The Chosen. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, man, if you haven't seen that, it's so inspiring. But in one part, the woman who had been through four marriages or five marriages, and she's living with number six. I mean, when she meets up with Jesus, oh man, you talk about love and compassion. And I mean, it's just overwhelming watching how he ministers to her. It is so fantastic. It just so let us know how good God is. He's not a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy. Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad for that. Amen. That his whole heart is moved by the adversity and the rejection that this woman had experienced and you know all the hurt, and she left her water pot. She's running wide open to town to tell everybody about this wonderful good news. Amen. There's a scripture that says, those that have been forgiven little, love little. But those that have been forgiven much, love much. And it isn't that one is transgresses less than another. It's that the one recognizes his dress transgressions more than the other. And I tell the Lord this often. Father, I need you every second of every moment of every hour of every day. I do. How about you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. That was my introduction. We're doing good? 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go there. We're talking about the importance or the value of the ministry of helps. Why? Because we're having a conference this coming Saturday. Sam said a few things that were really blessed me. And what you have to understand is, whether you realize it or not, you have a part in this ministry. Yeah. Amen. You might be an encourager, you know. I mean, there's the motivational gift. I could get into all these, but I don't have time. The motivational gifts in Romans 12. There's the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. There's the fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians 4. There's all these gifts that God has blessed us with, and so that together we can harmonize into one body that brings forth a greater measure of God's presence in every service. If you come to every service and you say, Father, if there's someone there you want me to minister to, please let me know. Amen. Because you may have just gone through something this past week and you got through it, and somebody else is now entering that and they need to hear some words of encouragement from you. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12, we'll read there, and then we'll just one scripture I'm going to read. And verse 28 says this. Thank you, Lord. It says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Isn't that amazing? The word helps there is set in the midst of or surrounded with such what we would consider supernatural gifts. I mean, we would consider the more important gifts. But I believe the Holy Spirit did that for a reason. He set that word helps. Say this out loud. Helps is a ministry.
Helps is a ministry.
Amen. It is. Right in the midst of all this supernatural, what we would consider of far greater value and importance, which God doesn't, was this word helps. The word help means to take hold of in turn, to participate in order to support, one who brings relief, which is exactly what Jesus came to do. When I was down in, when we were down in, where were we? A few months ago, where were we, Pastor Vicki? We were down vacation somewhere, and I was sitting in a mall. Vicki was looking for a couple of things, and I sat down with a basketball player and had an unbelievable time ministering to him, and he was so hungry for the things of God.
Amen.
And then I was doing some laundry, and I hate bringing dirty laundry home, so I always find some place to do it, you know. I mean, Vicki's is fine, but mine's dirty. Anyway. Vicki won't testify. Anyway, so I found a washer and dryer at a Marriott, and so here I'm sitting there waiting for my clothes to get done, washing so I can put them in the dryer, and a couple people come in there, and they said the first thing they said to me, and I didn't say anything. I'm just sitting on top of the. I was actually sitting on top of a stacked washer and dryer, and I walked in. Why? And there was no chair, so I'm sitting on the washer and dryer. And so they walked in, they said, there's a glow around you.
Wow.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, I know it wasn't the steam from the washer and dryer, but there was a glow. and so, guess what? Out of my heart, the abundance came.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I had an unbelievable time ministering to them and praying with them. And just, my point is, man, just be ready because God wants to give you these opportunities to love people that are around you. Everybody thinks that this ministry, this pulpit ministry is the most important. No, it is not. It's not the most important. All these other gifts of the Spirit far exceed this one. Because I can invest in you the Word of God, but you get the privilege of taking it out to a world that needs the Word of God. Can I have an amen? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to relieve those who were weighed down by sin. He did. I mean, I'm so grateful for that. Amen. Those who were weighed down by guilt, anxiety, and fear. And that's exactly what we're called to do in regards to the ministry of helps. Now, in Paul's letter to the church at Corinthian, he emphasized the importance of every member in the body of Christ. Every member, if you are a member of Faith Family Church today, every one of you has more value than you realize. Amen. I'm just telling you. You have far more value than what you realize to this body. And we're going to use an example here as we go on. Hallelujah. And he paralleled, listen to this, he paralleled the members of our physical bodies and their importance to Christ's body and the value of every member within his body. Okay? So every one of you are members of this body, so, you know, meaning the fullest function that we can get out of this body depends on the operation of every one of you. Amen. And we'll see this, and we won't spend a lot of time here, but you got to see this. 1 Corinthians 12, here we go. Paul says the human body has many parts. So now we're talking about the human body. The natural human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, and some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So we all share the same presence and anointing and giftings of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Yes, the body has many different parts, our natural bodies, not just one part. So if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. This is so good. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? See, when people come to church, they automatically think that you are maybe less in the sense that you really, I really don't do anything in the church. Well, you should be. Even if you came here in every service and you walked around and shook hands and encouraged people, you are adding to the body of Christ. You're adding value. Amen. And I've heard this. In fact, I heard it from somebody who's present here today. Said that, we went to a church, we walk in, absolutely no greetings, no hi, hey, good to see you, nothing. I mean, nothing. Absolutely. Now, we have been guilty of that. I'll never forget, I used an example when Noel started coming here. Just a shy, quiet guy, and he's sitting down there alone by himself, and I'd got upset. There wasn't anybody who would walk over and say hi to him and sit down and talk with him. I'll sit down and talk to a mannequin if he'll just give him my attention. A mannequin, whatever they're called. I've led quite a few to the Lord. So, that's the kind of care we should have. I just can't believe it. When people come for the first time it's good. But when people come, or they haven't been there for a month, go up and give them a big hug. Tell them you love them. Tell them you miss them. You know, I mean, we need to be lovers of one another. Not men to men and women to women. Just don't get slimy on us, huh? Can I have an amen? I'm just saying we should value each other, because I do. Vicky does. We value, Randy and Melissa do. We value the body of Christ. Every one of you. You don't realize it, but when I see you, I get out here. Actually, I'm going to step out the door. Why? Because I want to look at the people. I'm praising the Lord, but I'm looking at people. Oh, wow, so good to see you. So good to see you. Ah, well, look at there. They're here today. Ah, so good to see you. In my heart, I'm saying that. But I mean it. I mean it. I was just thinking about Bobby last week. He comes to church on Sunday. I thought, that's so good. I'm just simply saying we live in a time where there's distractions. I mean, there's so many things going on that we literally have to discipline ourselves to come to Sunday morning service. Can I have an amen? Amen. We have to. But every one of you are valuable. Every one of you have giftings. Every one of you have love inside of you that someone else needs. I mean, every once in a while, some of you guys just get together and just pray for one another's businesses. I mean, just be an encouragement. Let's keep going here. I'm sorry. Verse 17, this is the Passion Bible. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? This is so good. And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell the different fragrances? But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function, watch this, as he desires. A diversity is required. For if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but one body. Amen. So we have all many parts of this church body, yet not even aware of the fact till, until they stop functioning, the value of that member. And today, every church, I told you last week, but it's true. A woman came up to me and said, "Pastor, we got to find another church. Our church closed down." And my heart just was so saddened over that, that some precious pastor and his wife had sacrificed and started this ministry and started to build it and then just couldn't keep it going. Why? Because they just could not get the attention of the criticalness from their people. I was saddened. So that's happening all over. I mean, I'm just grateful that every one of you sense the value of a place to come and worship. Praise God. Amen. And I'm so grateful that God has given us. I love this building. Every time I come into it, I go, "God, thank you for giving us this building. Thank you that our youth ministers don't have to spend an hour and a half setting up all sound equipment in some, you know, cold building." Amen. And but they got a good, nice facility. You know, so grateful that we walk into an atrium where we got the best coffee, holla, 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 and the best drinks. Amen. I mean, praise God, the best bookstore. I'm sorry, I'm going to brag. I don't say it arrogantly. I say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So we all have these parts many parts in our natural bodies that we're not even aware of until they stop functioning, and that lack of functioning begins to have a negative effect upon the whole body. This morning I was here, I got here early, and I decided, okay, I'm going to go downstairs and get on the piano and worship the Lord. So I went down, didn't turn the lights on. And so I walked down there, and I stopped right here. I'm thinking of something, not realizing that I was not on the last step. And so when I hit that, isn't that funny how the body is so subjective to gravity? I mean, you would have swore I fell 20 feet. It was only 7 inches. But when I hit that, man, I rolled, and I nailed this knee, the very knee I fell on this summer on my bike. And I'm going to have to start putting a helmet on, big knee pads, elbow pads. And man, I laid there. And you know, we've never wanted to admit the fact that when you get older, I'd ever hate to make a call saying I've fallen and I can't get up. I just don't want to say that. But man, my knee hurt so bad. It swelled up, but I hurt so bad. I laid there. I'm sure Brady's going to be here pretty quick. He can help me up. But nobody came. So my point is, man, when that knee got nailed, it affected my whole body. I mean, I hurt. And so it is. So it is with this body. So many members in this body. That's why we want to try our best to give you the best spiritual meal that we can, so that you can remain healthy, hallelujah, remain whole, remain in faith, remain in love, and remain obedient to the Lord. Can I have an amen to that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now listen. Of all the members we have in our natural bodies, you never see them competing or contending with one another. I mean, it's just amazing how God used this natural body to give an example of what we're supposed to be as far as the body of Christ. The members of our bodies don't compete for dominance or attention. They don't express frustration for being something other than what God made them. Nor do they think one member is of greater value than the other. Every part is fully satisfied of how God made them and where he placed them in the body. The little toe doesn't get in dissension with the eye, because while the toe is being hidden, and ignored and seemingly of little importance, the eye gets embellished with beauty, color, care, and compliments. Isn't that good? But the members of our body don't get insecure. I'm so grateful that, you know, the hand doesn't rebel against the head. Can you imagine that? That they get in contention? Well, you know who's going to win over that. I mean, stop doing that. I hate you. No, it doesn't do that. They flow together. Hallelujah. Or you don't wake up some morning and the leg has gone into rebellion. What's wrong? My leg is rebelling. No, the whole body. The whole body works together. I got a headache. Anyway. The whole body flows in harmony. Hallelujah. Verse 21. I got to wind this up. I could hurt myself after a while. The eye can never say, watch this. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Amen. And I love this part. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. When I hit my knee, the whole body was suffering, even though that was the only part that got hit. Isn't that something? But that should be that way with us. I mean, one of the statements I've never liked is when people walk up to me saying, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great and getting better. Well, that's really wonderful for the guy who asked that question who's hurting. Yeah. So when people are hurting, you perceive that and be empathetic, be compassionate, be caring about what they're dealing with. And then when somebody comes up and rejoices about a victory, then you can rejoice with them. Can I have an amen? I'm just saying, we just need to, you know, we need to be like Jesus. Jesus, I need healing. Wow, praise God, life is great, getting better. Wow, I'd sure like some healing. Wow, no, I don't know about that, but life is great. No, he doesn't do that. Anyway, that was a bad example, but let's go on. Where am I at? If one part suffers, yeah. I'll find that. Where are we at? 21. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. The Message Bible says, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Wow. Man, that's powerful. So everyone, that's part of Faith Family Church is as valuable as the members I have inside that I don't even know are working. They're just working. They're in harmony. And because of that, there's health. And I'm grateful for that. How about you? Amen. That's what we want as a ministry. We want a healthy church. A church where people, I mean, we really do love one another. Yes. Amen. I mean, we genuinely love and respect and honor one another. We value one another. When we leave this church, we step out into a world of stink. And so it's not hard to take on, you know, that attitude. Not hard to take on all of the criticalness and the, you know, the bickering and the negativity. But it's something we should fight to keep out of our lives and remain true to God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Remain true to God. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul not only acknowledged, this is really good. When you have time, read Romans 16. Because Paul felt it. He really valued ministry gifts. He valued all the men that worked with him. I just wrote down a few of them that he valued. Timothy, Mark, Silas, Barnabas, Philemon, Jude, Peter, Titus, Epaphroditus, John. I mean, all these men he valued, okay? And then in Romans 16, he literally, I counted him, he puts together a list of 30 men and women that were significant in the progress of his ministry. And they remained faithful to him all the way through his death.
Amen.
They carried on what he left off. You know, it was interesting, John, in John the fourth chapter, Jesus talked about, he says, the fields are white under harvest. Fields are white. But remember, they went to town to get something to eat, and they came back, and they said, hey, eat, master. He says, I have food that you know not of. For my meat is to do the will of God. My meat is to do the will of God and to finish his work. But guess what? His work wasn't finished when he died and rose from the dead. It was just beginning. And so now he continues his work through us. Amen. I see, you know, when I look around, you see some of you from the small communities, you have an opportunity to make an impact on your communities. You have an opportunity to make an impact in your small communities that you live in. How many here with an uplifted hand to say, I'm believing God for not only a revival, but a spiritual awakening?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you have a part in that. Because the only good news there is the good news of the gospel. All the other news, that's why the Lord gave us that word last week, because he doesn't want us to get caught up in all that's going on in the world. The world is going to do what the world's going to do. We have to do what God's called us to do. Anyway, I'm closing with a simple, you've heard this before, but meaningful story that will hopefully remind us of not to devalue the ministry of helps or what God has gifted each one of us with in our lives, okay? The story involves four people, their names being everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. That's their names. The story is entitled, Whose Job Is It Anyway? There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Now, anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. And that's exactly the way it is. Now, I'm not on anybody, but I'm just using this as an example. Let's give you an example. Let's say that a missile, nuclear missile, hit LA tomorrow morning. How many do you think you'd be at prayer at noon?
Yes. Amen.
So what we don't want to do is simply, when God calls us to a time of fasting and prayer, that we just push it off.
Right.
Nah. Now, somebody will do it. But nobody, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you have to stop. And when God gives us an assignment, just stop for a moment, but consider the assignment.
Amen.
Consider the fact that there are things coming that we will not be able to handle without having been positioned in prayer.
Yeah.
Or things avoided because we really took it serious, that the nation is in trouble, God's people are in trouble, and it's time to stop and pray in a unified manner. Let me hear with a good clap offering if you agree with that. At least agree with it. Ephesians 4, one of my favorite scriptures to quote when it comes to these things. This is my last one. We'll pray together. We're doing fine for time. I hate time. In fact, we should just shut that clock off. Ephesians 4:16. Paul writing. He said, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies maketh increase. Oh, she's got it up there. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supply. Just say it. Isn't that funny? Say this out loud. I am a joint. I mean, you are a, just like my finger, you are part of the health and the strength and the effectiveness of this ministry. Somebody will do it, but nobody does it. See, we don't want that to be fulfilled at Faith Family Church. Amen. Years ago, I remember years ago, where's Richard? So grateful, Richard's. There he is. Richard, many, many years ago, went down to Tulsa to go to school. He had to stand in line and take schooling just to get involved in any type of ministry. Stand in line.
That was at his church.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, at his church. Amen. Amen. We make commitments. Okay, Pastor, I can serve, but one day a month. What if God answered your prayers and needed 30 answered in 1 month and you only got one? Because that's the kind of time when you gave him. I'm just simply saying we are in covenant with God, and yet we're so careless or so devalue the importance of this local body that you end up like that church, sir. Everybody just seemed to be 100 different ways, and we just had to close the doors. Well, first of all, that's not going to happen at Faith Family Church. Amen. But I'm just, because you value, that's why you're here today, because you value this ministry. And it isn't just this. We will, one of these days, we'll be completely, we'll be in heaven. And then this ministry will continue in strength and in health, especially as you and I together embrace the fact that we are important members of this body. Amen. Musicians, I need some musicians, and then we're going to pray with you today. So this Saturday, we have this conference. We wanted to do this at the beginning of the year so that we could really, really be, I mean, smoking wide open coming into 23. The word of the Lord came in prayer that 2023 would be the year that you would need, right? Yeah, the year you need. The year you need. Interesting. I want to say something about that, that word. And the year that you'd need. You need what? Maybe need to get closer to God. Need to get more committed to his heart and his will. Amen. Please, I need a microphone. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, that was back in October when the Holy Spirit, during prayer, was, you know, praying things out. And he said, when he come to say, and this is the 9th of October, he said the 2023 will be the year you need. Not the year to get your needs met, but the year you need. We didn't really know what that meant, but as we went back and listened to that whole, the words coming forth, he was talking about us gaining new access, us going to new realms, new heights. He was talking about picking up things that we have left behind, that we haven't, the authority of the believer that we know about up here, but it's knowledge, not revelation. He was talking about all these things, and when we connected that, we could see what he was meaning, that he wants this to be, this is going to be a season to connect to him, to reconnect to him. And then Pastor had in his heart for the fasting this year coming in. And I don't know how we even thought about it other than the Lord said, get the people back functioning in the body. And you know, when you thought about it, the demographics of churches are that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And it is true. It really is true. And I have to just qualify Pastor a little bit just in this thing when he said some of the lesser ministry of helps like ushering. Those are not lesser. Greeters are not lesser. They all have their importance and their equal importance. Ushering in a service is so important because they are helps to the body. I mean, you may need help getting a child that's fussy out, or I've seen the ushers have to clean up vomit. I mean, and nobody even knew they were going through it. They operated so great. We've got mighty men of valor here that when they're in ushering, they're alert and they're on task and they're serving the body. You know, they may have to be doing handouts. They may have to be receiving, doing things that Jesus' disciples did. But mainly, they're also protecting the anointing. So when the pastor's preaching or whoever is sharing, or even the musicians, you know, that there's a protection to the anointing, that 15 people aren't being disrupted by one or whatever. It's a very, very valid and important ministry. Same with children's ministry. Now, some might be a little harder to fulfill, like a lot of people. They don't really care about serving in children's ministry. And yet we know that the whole reason churches exist, God cares about the next generation, to make sure they're being raised up in a place where they're joining and becoming one in the body, and they're learning from their parents to serve or serving with their parents. We have a lot of families like that here, that the kids serve with their parents. I know years ago when we were starting the church and stuff, and we had a lot of areas we needed to fill. And sometimes it was youth and stuff. And I can remember saying to, more than one, but at least this one mom, I'd say, could you have Becky, I can't remember the name, come in, we need this, or we need help serving or something. She goes, well, I don't know. I can't give you an answer because she was like 15 years old, because I'd have to see if she wants to. And I went, what's that got to do with anything? You're the parent. You tell them they're going to serve, you know. But you do it with joy, so they want to serve. You know, parents have a role in that. But it isn't always fun to know that whenever there's guest speakers, there's conferences, when there's services, they come an hour early or more. They prepare all week for their lessons. And they are taking care of sometimes unruly children because maybe they don't want to be there or have left mommy and daddy, or, you know, they just got a lot to do. Maybe it's they're in the areas they change your kids' dirty diapers, but they're not getting to see the service or sit in it. It's not probably one of the more pleasurable things to do, but some people, God's put it in their heart and they just, they'll thrive there. Other people, well, I'll serve once a month. Well, you know what? That's not ministry. I don't know what that is, because I can't relate. Because from the time we were born again, Mike and I were doing everything we could put our hands to do. And that's probably the only reason what qualified us to stand in a position to minister to God's people. But some people say, I don't know what my place is. I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know. All you have to do is roll up your sleeves and do something. And the more you do that, you connect with people, you connect with your pastor, you connect with other leaders. And then pretty soon, you've got a heart for something. Pretty soon, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Now you've got ministry going on, and pretty soon God says, you've been faithful. I'm going to open this door. I'm going to open this door. But God's looking for your faithfulness. And one thing we've got to remember is this is his house. He cares about people caring about it. He cares about people wanting to serve him. We all think, I got born again, I love God, so I don't have to be in church. I don't have to sow seed to pay tithes. I don't have to serve. Actually, let all the younger people do it. Let all the younger families do it. I'm older, now I can come sit. No, I mean, never burn out. Never quit. Never give in. Because it's all part of God providing for you. You know, when you bring an offering or give, you know, we all count that as seed. The Bible talks about it as seed you're planting. And then you got to water it. What do you water it with? You water it with the word, putting the word in you and getting excited about letting the word, the living word, become a part of you. Well, then serve. You know what serving is like on all your seed? It's like the fertilizer. gets God moving in your life and you moving in God. I believe that that's the whole reason God, and it was his choice from the very beginning in the Old Testament, where he said right away to his people when he took them out of bondage, he said, build me a tabernacle, put up a tent so that I can gather all the people there. He wanted them all together. And then he set them down in divisions, gave, you know, told Moses, give them jobs to do and all this. Well, then came the tabernacle and the temple and synagogues. And in the New Testament, the church. God's always had a place. He's always built his house, and he wants a house. But he brings you in because he wants you to find your place there. He wants you to serve one another because that's love. Love serves. Love serves one another. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. You know what? I do have to brag on Faith Family Church, though, because they do come to serve. They do come to serve. And, you know, saying, well, my part is just coming and I enter into praise and worship. And you know what? That's ministering unto the Lord, but that isn't your place. Ministering to one another is so important. Serving. Ashlyn, you're just jumping out at me big time. Stand up, honey. I don't know what it is. Every time I look over here, she's like this huge person to me. I think you've been pouring out your heart to God. But you know what? I'm not sure where you're serving right now, but I know you're a Clem and you're serving. In that pouring out your heart to that service, he's finding a place. He's already preparing a place that you don't have any idea. Where do you serve in the church? You teach in where? She teaches in Noah's Ark, the 2 and 3 year olds. Thank you for that. Somehow I thought you were going to say you're upstairs. Oh, you've been serving in youth too. You did, and then you stepped over into that. You found your place? Glory to God. That's why God wanted me to call you out. See, that's how it happens. But you've been serving with your mom and dad forever. And I think I could have a whole lot of hands raised for that. But you know what? Jerry, you're another one. Look over here. I mean, he would play those drums all the time. One by one, his boys would join him in music ministry. I think you still play drums. Yeah?
He played drums in his black beard.
Anyway, this is God's house. And I mean, you have a house at home. What if nobody did the dishes? What if nobody swept the floor? What if nobody prepared the meals or nobody did anything to get, you know? Well, it's the same in God's house. We all gotta jump in. And you know what? I come to know that was part of what God was saying. You need this year, because we all need to get away from the fact that our life is our own and we can just go and have fun. We love God, so we'll just go have fun. He's calling us back to be the glorious church. Hallelujah. And he said, you know, let the church be the church. And I heard that in my spirit a couple weeks ago in prayer. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we've made our choice. This is my church. And I'm a part of the bigger church. I've settled the question. I've made my choice. Let the anthems ring out, songs of victory swell. I'm telling you, you guys, I am so blessed because of the way the anthems, the worship rings out in this house with no reservation from any of you. Let the anthems ring out. Songs of victory. For the church triumphant is alive and well. And you know what? We could pray all we want about this nation, but this is what it means to have an awakening in the church. Yeah. Waken up. It isn't just seeing healings and signs and wonders and miracles. It's us waking up to what God has laid out in his word for us. Amen. And it's all part of the blessings. It's all part of the flow of the gifts of the Spirit, the motivational gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, love, love, love. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning service at 9:30, as well as our midweek service on Wednesday nights at 7. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.